The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, is brought to you by, well, of course, you. If you want to learn more about how you can support the show, go to patreon.com/thearena_podcast.
Hit it!
That's what I'm talking about!
Wait!
Okay now, from the beginning.
Hit it, boys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. This is episode 68. I'm your host, Expat, along with my co-host, Burly of Burlybin Gaming on Twitch, and our other co-host, Turnbase Carl. He will be back with us next week. We want to wish all of you a happy new year. Burly, happy new year, man.
Happy new year. I think, as you put it earlier, Carl's in the penalty box right now. Yes,
the family penalty box.
Yes, the Canadian has to make a hockey joke, a little hockey pod here.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah. Of course, Carl has family duty this week, but he'll be back with us next week. But we were just joking before we started the show that Carl's in the family penalty box, and next week he'll come out of the penalty box and we'll be at full strength here on the podcast. So, So Burly, how was your Christmas and New Year's, man?
Christmas and New Year's was good. It was nice and quiet. Like as much as I would love to, you know, have the big family get togethers, but because we are living in a COVID world, you can't do that for obvious reasons.
Right.
So, but it was just kind of just, and it was just nice because I took a break from streaming and regular work. So it was just nice to just unplug. And like for the first like 3 days of my vacation, I didn't even think about Twitch or anything. It was just nice to just unplug my mind. Just go blank. How about you? How was your Christmas and New Year's?
It was great. Just spending time with family, just staying home. As you know, here in Japan, Christmas is a little bit different, but luckily this year it fell on a weekend. Usually Christmas is a regular work day for most people. But, obviously I take it off every year. Because of coming from America, of course, Christmas is a special day. So I usually take a paid holiday, but luckily I didn't have to do that this year because it fell on Saturday. So just spent time with the family here. Got a nice Captain America wall clock for Christmas. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Unfortunately, you can't see it. It's up higher on the wall here. But got that. And yeah, New Year's was the same. Just my son came home from college and we spent some time together. So, had a great time. A lot of relaxing days, just catching up on some Netflix series, things like that. Watched Cobra Kai. That was really cool. And watched some movies as well. So, yeah, it was a real fun, relaxing time. So, have to go back to work next week. So, on Tuesday. But, it was a great time, man. So
nice. Glad to hear.
So this week we have a few things to talk about. You know, usually the beginning of the new year, it's slow when it comes to the news cycle. But we had some pretty interesting stories this first week of the new year. We're going to be talking about Game Pass. Game Pass had some news this week. There's some new titles coming that were kind of stealth dropped on us this week. We're going to be talking about that. And of course, PlayStation made some big news. Of course, the Consumer Electronics Show was held in Las Vegas and they had their presentation and they presented a few new things for us. We'll be talking about that. We're going to be talking about our new game releases for the week of January 10th through the 16th. But before we get into what we were playing during the holidays and this past week, here's a brief word about where you can find the podcast.
Before the crew discuss what they've been playing, this episode of The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, and The Post Show, in audio and video formats, will be going to Patreon in early access for 1 day after recording. So if you would like to support the show and become a patron at the entry tier 1 level at $1 per month, and and get early access to every episode and post-show in audio and video formats, as well as watch or listen ad-free, please visit patreon.com/thearena_podcast for further details. Weekly on Sundays, the podcast will be uploaded to all free podcast services. Weekly on Wednesdays for the post-show, where you can find us on any podcast app for iOS or Android, Spotify, Amazon Music, and in video format on our YouTube channel, The Arena Productions. For the audio version, just download your favorite podcast app or open Spotify and search for The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. Subscribe, follow us, post a review, and leave us questions, comments, and feedback if you like, if that feature is available there, and spread the word about the podcast. We also have a Discord called The Arena Podcast, where you can join and chat with the Arena Podcast community, and the podcast website is at thearenapodcast.podbean.com, where you can follow us and leave questions and comments as well. Finally, you can also follow us on Twitter at The Arena, A-M-P-G-N-P, as well as on Instagram at @thearena_podcast. Now, back to the show.
Okay, Burley, let me go first. During the holiday season, and tell about the day before yesterday. Actually, yesterday, I completed the campaign for Halo Infinite.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really fun to play. I don't want to give any spoilers, of course, because there's probably a lot of people out there that still haven't finished the campaign. So what I'll say is, the story is much better than 5, much better than 5, Halo 5.
Okay.
You know, I would say this campaign is probably, along with Halo 2, the best Halo game.
Ooh.
Yes. The combination of gameplay, campaign, multiplayer, all of it put together, I think it's probably one of the best Halo games, along with Halo 2, because up until this point, Halo 2 is my favorite in the whole series. We get to see this new relationship forming between Master Chief and the weapon. And of course, those of you who are playing Halo Infinite will know what I mean when I refer to the weapon. It's Master Chief comes to this point where it seems like all is lost. You know, he blames himself for a lot of things that have happened in the past. So if you've played Halo 5, you'll know what I'm talking about. So the story is really riveting. It's really fun to play. The gameplay is really solid. I love all the weapons. I love the zip line that you can use. I mean, I used it a lot in this game. Especially going through all those corridors and zipping up to one level to another. It was really, really fun. I really highly recommend the game. If you have Game Pass, get it. Obviously, it's on Game Pass. And it's probably the best Halo game. So I finished that. Yes, I finished that. What about you, Burley? What have you been playing this past week and through the holiday season?
See, during the holidays, I didn't get much time to play. Like, I wanted to spend time on Judgment, but like anytime I ever went to game, because I was at my parents, I'd get like a 15-20 minute session and then get pulled to go do something. And Judgment is not the game to do that. So yeah. I was going back to Horizon Zero Dawn to get a little more familiar with the controls again, because I'm going to be streaming it, and I don't have the platinum in it, and I have a problem getting platinum trophies, so but
well, at least you try, Burley. I'm not a big trophy guy. I mean, okay, it's great if I can get a platinum, but it's like I really don't focus on that, you know. I just focus on the fun in the game, you know. Yeah,
I have 96 platinums. I have a problem. I can admit it. There's
that's,
why
that's
there's
good, man. That's that, good. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's a bad addiction. Trust me.
No, but I mean 96 platinums. That's platinums. Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's that I'm proud of.
Yeah.
But I've also been I streamed and been playing a few different games. I tried out Ni no Kuni on stream. I am going to go back to that. Mm-hmm. I feel bad, but that game just raged me because it has more grind in it in the pretty, and like I'm in pretty early game. I'm maybe about 15 hours in, mm-hmm. where it's beaten a Dragon Quest game for the amount of grind. And yeah. it's like, I can get through, I've beaten the first three Dragon Quest games, and those have your grind, don't get me wrong. But it's like, when you beat a Dragon Quest, like, you have to do as much more grinding than an old school Dragon Quest game. You need to kind of justify it. And it's like, I will go back to that game, and I feel bad to my viewers, because the last stream of it, I just raged, and I was like, okay, I'm done with this. But I started up Persona 5 Strikers. Boy, is that a lot of fun. Just the action and combat is just so much fun. And you've got the music from Persona 5.
Oh, yeah, that music is amazing.
That music is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and if you like Persona 5, you will like Persona 5 Strikers. They keep the writing and the feel is the same.
Right, so running around Shibuya and everything.
Yeah, combat's different. That's the only thing. Combat-wise, it's different, but the writing and the characters are still the same. Like, you remember them from Persona 5. And you don't even have to, like, because I've never finished Persona 5. You don't have to finish Persona 5 to enjoy Strikers, which is nice. And I've also been playing Horizon on stream. I started that last night. It's fun to go back to.
Yeah. Are you playing the Frozen Wilds yet on stream, or is it just the base game right now?
Base game. I'm doing a New Game Plus playthrough, and then doing the Frozen Wilds, because I've never experienced the Frozen Wilds.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Okay, let's get into the weekly news beat. So, like I said, usually in January, the first week of January, it's usually slow in the world of gaming news, but we had a few pretty interesting announcements this week. And first, we'll start with Xbox and Game Pass. We got some stealth releases with Game Pass, and we're going to be talking about the Game Pass games coming later on in the show. But the news was that first we got the news that Mass Effect Legendary Edition was coming to Game Pass. And that was pretty huge. Of course, it was a part of EA Play. And then later on in the week, we got the news about Ubisoft Plus, not coming to Game Pass, it's coming to Xbox, but Rainbow Six Extraction, which is a new game that's going to be, the new version of Rainbow Six Siege, in a sense. Rainbow Six Extraction is coming to Game Pass day one on the 20th. Yeah. So what do you think of that, Burley? So some pretty big news for Game Pass starting the year.
Yeah. No, a Mass Effect, they didn't see this coming this soon.
Yeah.
So that's nice. If you have Game Pass and you want to try these games, you have no excuse now.
Yeah.
And it is from what I've played, I've played through one. One is a great game. Two, I have only started and need to go back to. Mm-hmm. I've never played three, but you're getting those that want to play the games, you don't have, you have the option, giving more people the ability to play it. And these will give you hundreds of hours between the three games.
Yes.
You're going to get your money's worth for that month of Game Pass, or even if you pay for Game Pass just for 1 month, you're going to get your money's worth just from that collection alone.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the thing that I'm interested to see when they come out and see how it does on Game Pass, especially Rainbow Six Extraction, because it's a co-op PvE, player versus engine mode.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to see how well this does compared to, like, say, Aliens Fireteam Elite. It doesn't look like there's going to be a PvP in Rainbow Six Extraction. I'm not sure yet, but as far as I know, it's a PvE. So what do you think, Burley? Do you think it's going to do well? I have no idea. What do you think?
Game Pass. Well,
yeah.
Game Pass, it will help its numbers on Game Pass because there's going to be people like you and me that were never going to buy this game. Because
right.
if you can go back to our Ubisoft footage on our YouTube page for the E3 coverage where you, I were bored 30 seconds in and we were yeah. like talking about other shit. Like, because this just yeah. didn't excite us. And we were,
right.
I think we were more on about you guys didn't need to change the fucking name was yeah, one yeah. of the things we were dead. Say yeah. this is like this. I'll try it, but in all honesty, I don't think this is going to help me. But like, anytime they put these games on Game Pass, it does off the numbers a bit. Like, remember when they put Avengers on Game Pass? It increased the numbers a bit. So
right.
I think this will help the game at launch, mm-hmm. but I can't see this game lasting too long because there are so many out there like this and. From what I can tell, like from other people, why would I play this, get into this when I already have, you know, 100 hours into the Division 2
yeah,
or Destiny yeah. 2 or whatever one of these games that you want to put that you put your time into?
I mean, personally for me, I could see myself playing this game 1 or 2 days just to get the feel for it and just play it.
Yeah. You know,
see how it runs.
I'll give it an hour, try it. If I like it more past the hour, I'll play more.
Right.
If not, then I don't care.
yeah, next.
yeah.
So we talked about this during the week, too, when the news dropped about Ubisoft Plus coming to Xbox. Now, it's not coming to Game Pass, but we talked about the fact that we still don't know when it's coming. But when it does come, you know, how successful it's going to be on Xbox, and could this be the precursor of things to come? And I want to throw this at you, Burley, because I made this prediction on our morning show, which you can, of course, watch Monday through Friday now. We just finished our first week of the morning show, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/thearena_podcast and on our YouTube channel. YouTube.com/TheArenaProductions. And what I was saying was, I think this could be the beginnings of what happened with EA Play. Whereas, you know, EA Play eventually, once it, you know, of course it became a part of Xbox, and then it eventually became a part of Game Pass. Now I'm thinking that maybe Ubisoft Plus could eventually become a part of Game Pass, and maybe even down the road, Ubisoft could join Microsoft, like when Microsoft bought Bethesda. Maybe Microsoft is maybe in some type of negotiations that we don't know about with Ubisoft, and maybe somewhere down the road, Ubisoft's going to become another member of the Microsoft family. I don't know. What do you think, Burley?
Yeah, I think this is a good little precursor to see this could be coming. Like, it's going to start out like the... You can't not help draw the parallels with that in EA Play. We could see it coming to Game Pass, but as Turn-Based Carl, our other co-host, pointed out, the price of Ubisoft Plus is about the same price as Game Pass. So, could we have a higher tier Game Pass soon? Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see, but I wouldn't be shocked if that came and you have another, or if if you're a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber,
yeah.
Let's say Ubisoft Plus cost $15, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
You're already paying for Game Pass Ultimate. We'll give it to you for $9.
Yeah.
We'll cut Game the cost Pass, down to me.
Yeah. Game Pass Ultimate Squared.
And as for them wanting potentially buy Ubisoft, there's always the option.
Yeah.
But if I was Microsoft, I'd wait a few months because with what's been going on with them, the trend is going down. You could save yourself a zero. Microsoft, if you need a little help on this, you want to give me a small consulting fee, I'll help you kind of see the trend on some of these studios, when to put the offers in.
Right.
Save you a little money.
Right. Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to the next story. So let's go to PlayStation. So as I said at the beginning of the show that the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas was this last week, And Sony, of course, with PlayStation, had their own presentation. And during the presentation, they announced the name for PlayStation VR 2, as well as we got a glimpse at what the controllers are going to look like as well. And we were also shown the first VR title. It probably is the first VR title, a launch title for PSVR 2, which surprised you, right, Burley? Horizon, yes, Call of the Mountain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't see the Horizon being a VR game. I didn't think that. Out of all the properties Sony would do, that would not have been my thing. I would have thought they would have went Astrobot or some of the other ones.
Right.
But it's like, oh, this was cool. This actually has me a little bit interested. Like, you don't get much. You get like a 10-second teaser of actually, because like it's a 2-minute trailer, but it's a minute and a half of guys from Gorilla.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So,
but you get one of the I can't remember which clan he is of, which one of the clans, because I can't remember at the moment, walking you, and then a tall neck walks by.
Yeah, that tall neck's foot just goes right over your head. That was pretty cool.
And yeah.
Yeah.
But for what we got of the VR2, we got the controllers, and we got info on them, but we never got the headset yet, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, we did not see what it looks like yet. And just for you listeners, I want to tell you now, we're actually going through. So for you viewers, you can see this. But for you listeners, just thought I'd let you know, we're going through the IGN site of the comparisons, the specification comparisons of PlayStation VR 2 and PSVR, Oculus Quest 2, and Valve Index. So for you viewers here, as you can see, I mean, pixels per eye, the PSVR 2, of course, is going to have the most pixels, 2000 by 2040 per eye. Whereas the PSVR is OLED as well as PSVR 2, but the Oculus Quest and the Valve Index are LCDs.
Yeah.
And one other spec that kind of caught my eye a little bit, the Valve Index had the best field of view, so 130 degrees approximate, whereas the PSVR 2 will have 110 degrees, so 10 degrees more than the PSVR. Any of these specs stand out to you, Burley, at all?
Nothing really too much, because like they gave us some of these specs. Like, it is cool, like, the screen refresh rate, the Valve Index beats it as well, with up to 144 hertz and 120 hertz for the PSVR 2. Yeah. But, like, we're given some of these specs. Like, it's saying, because for PSVR, they say, yes, you need that and a PS camera. For additional hardware for PSVR 2, all we get is PS5.
Yeah.
So they're putting it that Sony is letting you know at least now, PSVR 2, you ain't using this with PS4. We all kind of figured, because
right.
Why would you make it fully compatible with the PS4 and not the 5? Because you really want to take advantage.
I just think, Burley, this is going to be a real hard sell at launch for a lot of people. I mean, because I'm a PSVR owner, but I haven't played with my PSVR in almost a year. You know, it's like in the box. You know, there really hasn't been any games that have been appealing enough for me to pop it out and put it on. And then that's the problem, putting it on and setting it up. Just the setup for that thing, you know, with all the cables and the box that you have to connect to the PS4. So with the PSVR 2, probably we're not going to have so many cables. It's probably going to be just one cable. We don't know if there's going to be a box with it as well yet, but and it's probably going to be almost the same price as a PS5 console. So, I mean, unless you're pretty well off and you're really into the tech stuff and you want everything day one, I think people will buy a PSVR 2, of course, if you can find one. Like, it's difficult to find a PS5. But, I mean, people like us, people like me, I'm not going to want this at launch. What about you?
Well, let me just go put on my monocle because I'm rich. Yeah, no, in all honesty, I'll wait things out probably with the PSVR.
Right.
Be honest, like, it has me interested with Horizon. I'm not gonna lie, that has me freaking interested. But I know, like, even though I never had the PSVR and the backwards titles that I do have, that I would love to, you know, sit and play, like Astro and a bunch of the others. I know I'll play it for weeks, stream and make some content on it, and then it's just gonna sit there in a fucking box.
Yeah, it's just, because it's not a headset seller, I think, that Horizon.
Not a lot of these VRs, even though they're selling well, but like I talked to my one buddy that has, like, a coworker that has one. He's like, I don't use it that much.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I got a good deal. It's cool. But how much, he's like, how much do I really want to always play games in VR?
Yeah.
He's like, not all the time. And he's like, you get bored of it pretty quick.
And what we found out from this video when they showed, you know, the reveal of this game, it's an experience. And normally when we think of experience when it comes to these type of games, it's probably a 30-minute experience, like a 30-minute game, you know, and that's just, it's not appealing enough to me. I want something that's going to be maybe at least 3 to 5 hours of gameplay.
Or if you're going to make it an experience, it comes with every PSVR. Like, there's no, like, I don't pay a cent extra.
Right. Because
if I got to pay 1 cent extra and I'm spending like 500 or 600 or whatever the goddamn price is going to be.
Right.
You're going to give me that, and you're going to give me a couple VR games free, because if I got to pay another $40, let's say you put it to budget price, like $39 here, and I got to pay for the Horizon, and it's just a glorified tech demo.
Yeah.
I got to be one mad person.
Yeah. I have the adapter for the PS5 for my PSVR. So I can see myself hooking up my adapter and playing the existing VR games that I have already with my existing PSVR headset on the PS5. And waiting a couple of years at least to see how well this thing does, you know, when it does come out. So anyway, so let's get a little bit to the controller. So they talked about adaptive triggers, haptic feedback. So it's going to be like the DualSense controller in a sense. But the shape of these controllers are more of an orbital shape. What did you think of that, Burley?
Those kind of didn't surprise me as much, because that is kind of standard, like the other VR, like the Oculus, and I believe the Valve Index, there's the same kind of controller in the HTC. It's kind of surprising they put the HTC one in here.
Yeah.
Like, I think the HTC one's a lower VR headset, but it does the job from what I've told from people.
Yeah.
The controller didn't surprise me on look-wise, but it's nice to see they're saying, oh, you got the haptic feedback and all that. And it's like, great.
Right.
My only thing is, you put that in there, how many of these VR guys are going to freaking spend the time programming this in? Because that's the one of my biggest pet peeves with PS5 games, is not enough games take use of the features of the controller. Like, if Horizon Forbidden West does not use the adaptive triggers and all that.
Oh, it's
the
got ball, to. Yeah.
It I will get pissed. Like, Legends did, like, the director's cut of Ghost did it. Ratchet and Clank is still the best. Like, if you want to see how to use the control, besides Astro, Ratchet and Clank takes it up. But, like, Ratchet and Clank
ripped apart.
Really does it, because pretty much, I think, one gun does it out of the, like, 20 guns. But depending on the sensitivity and if you full or half, you get different effects with your weapon. And I just love that, because it makes me change up my strategy all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially the adaptive triggers. I mean, that has to be something that the DualSense controller is going to take advantage of, especially with Aloy using her bow. Yeah, I think, that's got to be in there. So they talked about finger touch detection as well as tracking and all for this. So, yeah, we don't know when it's coming out, but there's been rumblings that it's going to be going into mass production this year in China. We shall see. We don't know that for sure yet, but I don't know. Maybe PlayStation's going to try to push this out before the end of the year. I don't know. We'll see. But we don't know that yet. But when we do find out, we will let you know. So, okay. So, Burley, there was some other PlayStation news, and I think you want to talk about this a little bit. One of your favorite PlayStation games recently, Ghost of Tsushima, which actually is going to be in movie form. They're actually making a movie for Ghost of Tsushima now. So,
yes. Oh, yes. About the greatest Japanese real hero of all time, Jin Sakai.
Why do you always say that? He's not the greatest. Tokugawa Ieyasu is believed to be one of the greatest Japanese figures in history, of course. But anyway. In video games. In video games, of course.
Games. Jin Sakai. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway. 8 million copies, Burley. What do you think?
That is impressive. I love this game. Like, you're going to hear me gushing, and you've probably heard me gush about Ghost of Tsushima before, and I do apologize, but you should know better from me by this point. Yeah, it's amazing game. It should have won Game of the Year in 2020. Mm-hmm. It got robbed. Hashtag Last of Us 2 sucks. Anywho.
All right. No, it's all right. That's your opinion.
Yeah, it's my opinion. Don't hate Expat for it or the podcast. I was shocked that this game sold 8 million. Like, in like about a year and a half now, that's really good. Like, as much as I love that game, I didn't think it did. Like, it was going to hit the 8 million mark. That is awesome.
Yeah.
And like, because Sucker Punch, like I said, when this game was first being showed off by Sucker Punch, I didn't have the feel that these guys could pull this off. And then seeing gameplay of this game, I was like, okay, I'm buying this, and bought it, and I've loved it. And then when the Director's Cut came out, they had my money, bought it, and had a blast replaying through the game and doing the Iki Island expansion, had a lot of fun. Like, I'm now thinking of doing a playthrough on Lethal, the hardest difficulty, just because I can.
Good luck.
I've had a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
trust me, I'd be taking a lot of pointers from certain people.
Yeah.
But it's awesome to see that these guys can pull out a new IP, kind of reinvent themselves, Sucker Punch, because they were known for Sly Cooper, then new from Infamous and Ghost now come out. And I think this is their highest selling, because I've tried to find selling numbers for all their other games. Infamous Second Son was, I think, about six and a half million, which is not bad. Don't get me wrong, but this blew that out of the water. And I think this game probably could get to the 10 million mark in a few years. And if you have not played this game, definitely play it. But the other half of this that you wanted to talk about, that we talked about on the morning show, is the Days Gone former director. I know some people say he's not bitter, but he sounds bitter to me, and I can understand from where he's coming from. I understand he's mad. Days Gone did not get the push that Ghost of Tsushima did. Ghost got a huge push behind it,
right?
But for Days Gone, as you said, it wasn't a Japanese, like, based on Japanese culture, and Sony being a Japanese studio and company, they're going to push that more than they're going to push Days Gone. And for Days Gone, for a lot of people, and myself included, it just looked like, oh, zombie open world. I didn't get the appeal. I never heard anyone raving about Days Gone, being like, you have to play this. Whereas Ghost, I heard from so many streamer buddies that had gotten the game before I did and said, no, no, you have to play this. And I saw it. And then.
And that game was in development by Sony Ben for a long, long time, too. It's, you know. But what I want to get to here, Burley, is there was an update to the story about the director. Of course, he had been talking about we had, you know, Days Gone and made over 8 million, you know, sold over 8 million copies. Well, there was an update to this story, and I want to read this from Wesley LeBlanc over at Game Informer. So Game Informer reported that Days Gone director Jeff Ross said Ben Studios' latest game sold more than Ghost of Tsushima, which recently hit a milestone after selling 8 million copies, which we had just talked about. However, in a recent live stream with former God of War and Twisted Metal director David Jaffe, Ross revealed that his source for the sales numbers was a now defunct website called GameStat, which tracks PlayStation trophy data, as reported by Push Square. Here's what Ross said, quote, "Where I got my data from, I had access to a lot of telemetry, and I could see stuff. And when we were at 5 million copies, when we were announced at 5 million copies, the telemetry data was at 5.8 million. There are basically resells or shared discs. I was actually using an external website. I think they're offline now, but they were using trophy data, and it lined up with our internal telemetry data. So for me, it's like good enough." So basically, he really, yeah, he didn't know if it made 8 million or more or not. Maybe it didn't. Okay. So yeah, it's kind of weird, but yeah, those sales figures that he had been mentioning before, obviously not as much. So yeah, I don't know, man. So what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know how they easily track this stuff. Like, you have to be careful. And you'd be like, from what I saw, 5.8 million because of trophy data. There's so many things because you get so many because they give. How many give out because of review copies? And then content creators get a bunch of free copies to give away to do giveaways and stuff like that. So you don't know how many. There could probably about like on the high end about 20,000 copies or just that. Yeah. And I'm going high with that number. Yeah. Right? Could be review and giveaway copies.
Yeah.
But you don't know how many people, like, because I know so many people that trade in games and then buy them used. Like, I'll buy I want to play this. The brand new copy here in Canada is 90, but I can get the used copy for $45. Yeah. Oh, what am I going to do?
Right. I don't know, man. I mean, I just look at it this way. I mean, if you look at it from a big, huge company like a PlayStation or a Microsoft or something like that's perspective, I mean, maybe 8 million or so for a particular game might not be successful enough in a sense. But look at the smaller developers out there. They would kill to sell that many copies of a game.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Days Gone is a great game. Ghost of Tsushima is a great game. It's just, you know, this kind of feuding or, you know, like over sales numbers, whether or not the game made or sold 8 million, you know, copies or 6 million copies or whatever. I still think they're both successful games, you know? So, yeah. But anyway, so.
Yeah, well like, I agree with you on the indies and being like, indies would kill for those numbers. And like, those numbers are not something to scoff at. I think it's more how the game was critically conceived, like received. If we had people talking about Days Gone like they were talking about Ghosts, Sony would have lit that Days Gone sequel. They would have greenlit it and said, okay, you start production. And I did take a quick look. It was 6 years they were in development for Days Gone.
Yeah.
And it's like wow.
Yeah. That was like, a long time.
I understand, but I think it had to do with word of mouth and critics. I have not played
there was a lot of, let me just say this, Burley, there was a lot of people in the media that were talking about, is this game actually coming out or not? you know, it had been like 5 years or so at that time. And they're like, is this game going to come or are they going to cancel it? You know, and then finally it did. So,
yeah, I do remember that. Like, see, I didn't follow Days Gone too much because I remember there was the huge, it took a long time to make. And right. then we didn't see it for a while, and then it just came out. And then I didn't hear much after it came out. I saw very little of the game, and it was like nothing appealed to me to buy it. I've heard from friends and streamer buddies, try it out. I have a copy because of my PlayStation collection thing on the PS5. I will try the game. But it's just like, if your game goes live and then you hear nothing of it, yeah, sorry, Sony's not going to greenlight a sequel. I don't want to be... Your game could be amazing, a cult classic, but if you don't hear nothing of it in the mainstream, and journalists are not putting it on their top 10 and really talking about it, it's not going to get mentioned. And to Sony, it's like, okay, why would we invest into this? Horizon, we got people talking. We've got Ghost, people talking about Ghost. We got people talking about God of War, Ratchet and Clank, Spider-Man. Yeah. We're going to put our focuses into those because people talk about this. Okay, Ben, yeah, you did. You put out a game. Great. Thank you. We do appreciate it. Let's try something different.
Right. Something different. And from what I've also heard is they're also taking some of their resources to help the other studios as well. So,
yeah.
Okay. Burley, it's time for our topic of the show. So this week's topic is on our 2022 gaming resolutions. Now, before we get into this, I just want to say something about Twitter. I posted on Twitter about if any of you have any gaming resolutions, you know, throw us a line and just tell us what you think. You know, we got a few likes, but if you like it, then there must be something about it that you could actually give us a line or two about, you know? So I'm just saying right now, here and now, moving forward into 2022, if you're going to like our tweets, that's fine. But then again, when it comes to saying, do you have a gaming resolution for yourselves? No, I don't have any resolutions. Just give us a comment. Give us some comments, you know, that would be pretty cool. So anyway, that was my rant about Twitter. But anyway,
okay.
Gaming resolutions, Burley.
Yes.
There's a lot of people out there that probably do have resolutions and gaming resolutions. Some of them might be playing a different genre of game. Some might be spending more time on a particular, you know, like a survival horror game or jumping more into multimedia or multiplayer games. Multiplayer instead of single player games. Some people might want to stream more games, you know. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that people can use as a particular resolution to start the new year, particularly if you're a hardcore gamer. So I'll start with one of my resolutions. 2021 for me was a bad year for the Nintendo Switch.
Oh,
not that it didn't have any great games. Obviously it had some great games, Metroid Dread, obviously, but I'm saying this right now. I seriously neglected my Nintendo Switch in 2021.
Not even.
I hardly played with my Switch in 2021 because I was so focused, obviously, on content creation and the podcast and everything else. But when I did play games, it was more on PlayStation or Xbox, especially with Game Pass on Xbox. But, you know, I played games on the PS4 and the PS5 as well. Just didn't spend much time at all on the Switch. So probably most of the time I spent on the Switch, Burley, was, you know, when you and I were talking about Metroid Dread. I played some Metroid Dread. That's one of my resolutions for 2022. use my Nintendo Switch more. Of course, there's probably Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 is probably going to be coming later this year. We don't know, obviously, but a lot of great games and a lot of great indie titles are on the Switch. So if they're not on Game Pass, definitely it's a place to play them. So that's one of my resolutions. What about you? What's your first gaming resolution for 2022?
Well, my first one's an obvious one. Start cutting down on the backlog. Just start getting some other games that I have already paid for and just get them done. Get them finished. Get them done. Like, there's just so many games on so many different platforms that I have bought and I've started a bit, but it's just I need to just put the time and effort into. Because, like, I have a weird mix because I stream games on Twitch, obviously. So I've got games I do for content creation, and then I have my games on my regular time. There's so many games that I want to go back to that I've started. Like, there are games like The Messenger, which I couldn't stream because that game is hard. And right. I don't think, well, there will be people that would want to say it because you're just going to hear me do F-bombs and raging every 20 minutes because I'm like,
Burley doing F-bombs?
Yeah. I know, Nani.
Burley doing F-bombs? What do you mean, Burley?
Well, you could go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But, like, there's tons of games, like, I want to go back and just start clearing them off and doing, like, what like, I want to finish Judgment this year and get to Lost Judgment. I'm hoping to, later this month, finish Judgment.
Right.
And then go to Lost Judgment.
Right. Another thing for me, too, like you were talking about playing games on your free time and not in the sense of doing it with content creation. But for me, kind of the opposite in a sense, I want to do more content creation when it comes to streaming this year, because I neglected streaming a lot last year when it came to my own channel, because I was focused so much, as I will be still, with all of the content that we do on Patreon and the podcast and everything else. But I do want to get back into streaming more games, but the games that I will stream will be games that I've already completed. I can't play a game on a live stream that I'm playing for the first time, because I focus more on concentrating on the gameplay rather than looking at chat, looking at everything else and communicating with people. Whereas if I've already played the game, then, you know, it doesn't matter so much. Then I can just stop and not worry about getting killed in a particular fight or something like that, or just, you know, talk to people and have more fun with it. So that's what I want to focus on more this year. When I'm playing games on stream, they're going to be games that I've already completed.
Hey, I can totally understand all that. Because I never liked streaming new games, but then certain things have happened and changed my mind on those. So
Yeah. It's
yeah. But I get it, because I've done it both sides from it, so I totally understand. And yeah, I can't wait to see more of your streams. I'm sure we'll have some Lost Judgment, maybe some Dunk. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. School stories and Lost Judgment for sure. Yeah. So because I am a teacher and I work in the Japanese schools, so I can give a good perspective on what goes on in there. So. All different types of games.
Or to help you out with your first resolution, you could stream Metroid Dread on stream.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a possibility. I might do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the last one I'll mention here, Burley, is we have Elden Ring coming.
Oh yeah.
I know I'm not the type of person that loves to play those type of Souls games in the sense, because my level of interest peaks at a certain point in, you know, combat when it comes to levels and difficulty and stuff like that. So, I don't have much patience for those games. I never have, you know, the Bloodborne's, the Dark Souls, those type of games. But a small resolution for me this year is to give them another try, but just have fun with them. I mean, just don't like rage quit or, you know, lose patience. Just have fun with them. If I die over and over and over again, it doesn't matter, you know.
So what is this have fun with video games? This foreign concept. Is this a Japanese thing that they teach you over there?
I have fun with all different video games except for Souls games. Those
no, I totally don't understand. I'm going to be trying Elden Ring.
Yeah.
And by mean, I'm going to be using multiplayer on a certain streamer that helped me get through Demon's Souls that shall remain nameless. Yeah. Be helping my ass again. Because you know what? If I'm doing this game, I'm doing it the way I know I can beat it. Have help and have fun. Because you know what? Playing the game by yourself, I can understand why people can have fun. But you know what? Playing those games multiplayer is a lot of fun because you're both working together and using the mechanics of the game against it. So that's what makes it fun. Playing them single player, fuck that. I do not have the patience. I did certain sections by myself.
Yeah.
And what would have took me a half hour in a co-op session took me 2.5 hours by myself.
Yeah, and
no, not doing that shit again.
And up to this point, that's what I was doing, playing them by myself and just so. Who knows, Burley? Maybe if you and I are on at the right time and we can play it together, maybe we can co-op or something and do it. It'll make it more fun for sure. So, okay, so that was some of our 2022 gaming resolutions. And for all of you people on Twitter, I mean, I just want to let you know we love all of you out there on Twitter. But it's just sometimes we would love it if you would give us some more feedback. That would be really helpful to us. You know, don't be shy. You know, it's not like we're going to throw your name out there and, you know, try to make everybody find out who you are or anything. So if you have something to say, tell us, and we'd love to read it on the show and, we could have a great discussion about it. So, so thank you so much. So now, Burley, it's time to move on to our releases for the week of January 10th through the 16th, and we go from our website, releases.com, so you can find that on the web, releases.com. So we're going to give, of course, as we do every week, our pick of the week for these games. So, of course, you can see them from releases.com. So, Burley, my pick for this week is the Anacrusis, and the Anacrusis, obviously, is going to be coming to Game Pass day one, which we'll be talking about a little bit.
So is it your pick of the week because the logo reminds me of the old Atari logo?
No, but that is interesting. Yeah, it does kind of look like the old Atari logo.
Can you not see the Atari logo if you take away the text? Like, I'm not doing it just to be funny, but it's like it's seriously giving me the Atari logo vibes.
Yeah, it does, So anyway, let me read the description here. So the Anacrusis is a four-player cooperative first-person shooter, and it's very first-person, set aboard a massive starship stranded at the edge of explored space. Team up with your friends in an infinitely replayable fight against alien hordes. There you go, Burley, more alien hordes. To unlock perks, weapons, and new ways to play that you can share with your team. So from the development studio Stray Bombay. So it comes out on the 13th for Xbox Series X, Series S, Xbox One, and PC in the US and the UK. And it will be coming to Game Pass day one. So
nice.
Yeah, the Anacrusis. Yeah. Burley, what's your pick of the week for our first episode of the year?
So for my first pick of the week, this one took me a little bit to pick. I didn't want to just say God of War PC because, be honest, God of War sold very well. It was, I think, the highest PS4 one. So I went with like a little smaller one that interests me that I actually will most likely pick up and play and maybe stream in the future. It's a game called Astroneer, the sudden development of technology for rapid space travel enables fast and inexpensive journeys to the stars. Exodynamics, the dominant conglomerate in the new field has opened up flights to daring citizens of Earth. Like the Yukon Gold Rush of old, waves of adventurers sign up themselves into a new frontier, risking everything to seek fortune in the far reaches of the galaxy. These are the Astroneers, and Astroneer, you must find a way to dig out of a life on one of multitude of harsh new worlds, blast through the terrain, and uncover precious artifacts and materials you can use to fuel your quest and become wealthy, barren in the stars. Along the way, discover oddities, raise the questions, and uncover mysteries. Perhaps all is not as seems. It's an indie game done by System Error Softworks. Sorry. It's coming Thursday, January 13th to the Switch.
Yes.
Just the Switch right now. It is on PC and Xbox One for early access as well. Right. And it will be coming to PS4 at a later date.
That's right. That's right. All righty. So you can go to releases.com to check out all the other games that are going to be coming for the week of January 10th through the 16th. So now it's time, Burley, to talk about the PS Plus games coming for the month of January. So what do we got for PS Plus this month?
Alrighty. One of them I mentioned earlier, Persona 5 Strikers.
Yes.
Which like I said before, you like your Persona 5 and you like your Musou, your Dynasty Warrior games, you're going to love this. We also have Dirt 5. So if you're into your racing sims, check out Dirt 5. I have not actually tried it, but I do have it. And the last one, which is your PS5 one, is your Deep Rock Galactic. I've played this way back on the beta about 2 years ago on PC. Mm-hmm. It is a fun game to do co-op with each other if you can get a group of buddies and just sit and laugh and have some fun.
Yeah,
I don't know how well it'll work. Actually, I think it'll work quite well on the PS5 controller because I played half keyboard and half controller.
Yes.
I didn't do too much with controller, but I do remember starting out with keyboard. It took me a little bit.
Yeah. And Deep Rock Galactic is also on Game Pass. I just have to point that out as well. If you are an Xbox owner and you don't have PlayStation, you can also play Deep Rock Galactic on Xbox as well. So, yeah. All right. Okay. So let's get to the games with gold. So I'm going to go ahead and discuss those. So for January 1st through the 31st, we have Nier Avoider. And then on the 1st through the 15th, we have Radiant Silver Gun. And then the two games from the 16th January 16th through February 15th, we have Aground. And then on January 16th through the 31st, we have Space Invaders Infinity Gene. So I'm going to go ahead and read the descriptions of these. So Nier Avoider, set in a cybernetic world and featuring an original soundtrack from cyberpunk artist Dan Terminus, battle through hordes of vigilante robots using endless combinations of nuclear-powered weapons. Play co-op with up to four of your friends or rampage alone in this hack-and-slash twin-stick shooter RPG. And for Aground, for humanity to survive and reach the stars, you'll need to craft and build, whether unlocking new technology, raising dragons, or launching into space. The sky is literally not the limit. Recover what was lost and rebuild everything. Radiant Silver Gun. Restored by Treasure, the legendary vertical shooter returns with the same shoot-em-up gameplay, which made the original arcade version so famous. Yeah, Burley, I loved this when I was playing it in the arcade over here in Japan. So new additions, such as Ikaruga style shooting mode, help elevate the fun in this fantastic shooter. And then finally, Space Invaders Infinity Gene, the game that defined video games for generations, is back with a new twist. Yes, of course, as you know, I'm from the Atari 2600 generation, and I loved my Space Invaders. That was the first game I played on the 2600. So play a total of 143 stages, which evolve in both look and feel the more you play. Unlock new stages, new power-ups, and new features, all to imaginatively stunning visuals. So those are the games with gold for January of this year. So now, Burley, what's coming to Game Pass? So we're going to talk about the Game Pass titles from the beginning of the year on to up to the 16th. So what do we have coming? And then after that, what's leaving Game Pass?
Yep. So we've had a few games that have cut. So we got Gojira. I'm bad with names. That came January 4th.
It's called Goragoa.
Goragoa. Okay.
Yeah, and Goragoa.
Elijah, January 4th. Mm-hmm. The Pedestrian, January 4th. And on mm-hmm. January 6th, Ember. Mm-hmm. And one we talked about earlier, Mass Effect Legendary Edition. And mm-hmm. Outer Wilds, which was on there before, but has now come back to Game Pass. So now I get a chance to try it out. And January 13th, we have Spelunky.
Yeah.
A little platformer puzzle game.
Spelunky 2, right?
Yeah. No, this is just Spelunky.
Oh, really?
Spelunky 2 came out last year, but they're putting the first game on Game Pass. Maybe enough, we'll get Spelunky 2 on there eventually. Then we've got, for January 13th, the Anacrusis coming to both console and PC.
Burley, that's interesting, because it says here on the site that I'm on, that it's Spelunky 2 coming to console and PC on the 13th.
The one I've got is not, may not be as good. They may have just made a small typo, my mistake. And then on January 15th, Game Pass, we got Desperados 3, which was cloud, console, and PC. Ghost of a Tale, which was PC. Kingdom Hearts 3, console. Mountain and Blade, Warband, cloud, console, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemic, it's leaving January 15th, only on console and PC. Sadly, not the real world as well. Sorry. And Yeek, post-modern RPG, leaving PC.
Okay. All right. Okay. Did you ever play Kingdom Hearts 3, Burley?
Yes, I got that game day one. I used to be a Kingdom Hearts fan, and then you play 3-3 and you see how they were trying to build this story up for a grand thing and how they did not do.
So Kingdom Hearts 3 broke your heart.
Yes. Well, the stupid shit with so many side games and that they decided to do and never just be clear on the story. And right. That they made so many games that revealed nothing. And then mm-hmm. be like, to give you 1 second of dialogue that's relevant to the next game. It was like the series. After Kingdom Hearts 3, I'm done. Like I will play back the older games. 3, I haven't gone back to. I've heard the DLC fixes the story, fixes it, but I have to buy DLC story to fix the base game. Is not the fix the base game story is not an answer that I want. And then that song game that they came out with last year. Apparently, there's only about 3 lines of dialogue that are relevant to that they'll eventually do in another game. It's like, no, just end this series. But it makes too much money, so they'll never do it.
All right. Okay, it's time for some announcements of our Patreon content. Of course, we're doing Star Wars Republic. It's our new Star Wars series, and it's about all things Star Wars, of course. Which we're going over the Book of Boba Fett. We're doing our reactions to each and every episode. So our episode, or actually chapter 2 episode, is now up as we are recording on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thearena_podcast. And of course, you can get it in early access for 2 days and ad free. Over on Patreon at patreon.com/thearena_podcast. And we'll be doing each and every week more Boba Fett episode reactions. So that is our Patreon stuff that's been going on. So lots of content. And if you're interested in becoming a patron and supporting our content and what we do over there, please check out our site. And a lot of stuff, Burley. And speaking of Patreon, too, I want to take this moment to give a big shout out to our newest patron, Tuil. He's, of course, member. Yeah, community member over on Discord as well. And he's now our newest patron over on patreon.com/thearena_podcast, where, of course, you get this podcast for 1 day in early access. in audio and video formats. The audio version will go up to free podcast services after the first day, and the video format will go up to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/through the Arena Productions. So thank you so much, Tawil, and welcome to the Patreon family. Yes, thank you so much. So what games will you be playing or streaming this coming week, Burley?
I'm going to be doing alternating between Horizon Zero Dawn and Persona 5 Strikers.
Awesome.
Those are my two games for a while.
Yeah, I will be playing and possibly streaming some more Lost Judgment. Like I said, the school stories. Probably nice. A little bit of The Gunk, which is out on Game Pass. So since I'm finished with Halo Infinite, I want to get back to playing that and concentrating on The Gunk as well. So I'll probably be doing that. So. All right, so now it's time to let everybody know where you can find us on social media. So you can find me, of course, on my link tree. So all of my links to social media and an invite to Discord is on my link tree. That's at linktr.ee/expat_1. So that's my new link tree address. So, and of course, our YouTube channel where you can find all of my content over on youtube.com/TheArenaProductions. So, but the link tree is where you can find all of my links to social media. So, Burley, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at BurleyManGaming. You can also find me on Twitch as I'm a Twitch affiliate, twitch.tv/BurleyManGaming. And I also have. Also, I'm going for Streamloot's partner. So if you want to check out awesome. Streamloot's and have another way to integrate with Stream, check out streamloots.com/BurleyManGaming. And also, I do have a little sponsorship. If you're looking for PCs, please go check out Artisan Builds and use code Burley to save yourself some money.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome. So, yeah. Burley, yeah. And also one other announcement, too, I want to make is, of course, our morning show. We finished our first week of that. So there are 5 episodes that you can check out and video on demand over on our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/TheArena_podcast and on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheArenaProductions. So check that out. And you can watch us live on Twitch and YouTube every weekday, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So. Yeah, we had fun this last week, didn't we, Burley? Yeah. That was pretty fun. First week.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was a fun first week, and my drone piloting skills are getting quite good. Yeah. So yeah. For anyone that doesn't know what I'm meaning, watch the morning show and you will understand. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. First he was learning playing Judgment, and now he's learning on the morning show as well. So All right. So once again, I want to wish all of you listeners and viewers a happy new year. And we look forward. And of course, as well as Turn-Based Carl, Carl will be back with us next week for his first episode of the year. So we wish you happy new year. And, everything goes well for you in 2022. So 2021 was kind of still a downer year because of COVID and all. But hopefully things will be looking up in 2022, and we're looking forward to bringing you all the gaming news every week here on The Arena. So, a lot of stuff to cover this year. It's going to be really fun. So, yes, we're looking forward to bringing it to you all. So, to end the show, our indie recording artist spotlight. So, for our first spotlight of 2022, this week's spotlight is on Katrina Stone. Katrina Stone has been lauded on an international scale through scoring brand endorsements, performing on national stages like the Warped Tour, and even earning critical praise for her songwriting that can be heard in advertisements around the world. From the title song of her album called Best of Luck. So we want to wish, of course, all of you the best of luck for 2022. This has been The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, episode 68. I've been your host, Expat, along with my co-host, Burley of Burleyman Gaming. We hope to catch you in the next one. At our post show, everyone will be back from next week. Okay? So take care, everyone. Peace out.
Bye, everyone.
to go. Said look both ways before you cross me, baby, cause I don't break for boys. I'm moving on. Me, baby, cause I don't break for boys. Hey, hey.